Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts bring you glory and honour. O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So in the reading we just had from Adrian, this event occurred on that first Easter Sunday. Jesus had died on the cross 2 days earlier. And that very morning on the Sunday, the resurrected Jesus appeared to Mary in the garden. And the disciples were scared. They were terrified of the Jewish leaders. And so they had hidden in a locked room. But then Jesus appeared among them. He breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, Wairua Tapu. Through the Spirit, God lives in us, empowering us to fulfill his will. In the Hebrew, the word for the Holy Spirit is Ruach, and the same word means breath and wind. And so when Jesus breathed on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine that, being breathed on by Jesus. To receive his Holy Spirit, the disciples were filled with joy and received Jesus' peace. I don't know about you, but when I've experienced infilling of the Holy Spirit, I have been overwhelmed by the love and acceptance of God and just filled with incredible peace. The cares of the world fall away in that moment and time stands still. In the passage, we then hear Jesus giving the disciples their spirit-empowered and spirit-guided mission to preach the good news that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and our sins are forgiven. So fast forward 50 days to Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 in Greek. And for the Jews, there was another festival. 50 days after Passover was Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. And this was a thanksgiving for the first harvest of the year. It was a major Jewish festival. And thousands of Jews from all over the Jewish world were in Jerusalem at the time. And God sent the Holy Spirit on all the believers with fire. This fulfilled John the Baptist's prophecy that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire symbolizes God's purifying presence. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and resurrects us to live a godly life, keeping us pure, spiritually pure and clean. The tongues of fire represent the communication of that good news. That morning at Pentecost, the disciples were given the gift of tongues, and they were able to be understood by people from many nations in their own languages. Now, these were simple fishermen from Galilee. They didn't know those languages in their own power. It was God-given through the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues is available to all believers. Sometimes it does enable people to speak in other worldly languages that they don't know humanly. But more often, the gift of tongues is for us to be able to communicate to God in angelic tongues. Spirit to spirit, soul to soul. The filling of the Holy Spirit gave those disciples so much power. A few weeks before, they had been frightened people who just lost their Messiah and their leader. But they were given the Holy Spirit. and they became emboldened to proclaim the good news about Jesus. And they pronounced this to thousands of people. That day in Jerusalem on Pentecost, 3,000 people became believers. That was the beginning of the church, and in fact, this is the birthday of the church. Praise God. Now, the Holy Spirit enables us to do many, many things. Helps us in so many ways to do and be and speak to God's kingdom. And today, what I want to focus on is that the Holy Spirit fulfills Jesus' call, or helps us fulfill Jesus' calling to be salt of the earth. So our church's verse for the year is Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it loses its flavour? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So, we've got a mini science lesson this morning. Sorry, inevitable. Salt is sodium chloride. Salt in Jesus' time and even today was used for preserving and for flavouring food. Now today, salt is a commodity item and it's very cheap. But in Jesus' time, it was extremely valuable. And we've heard in earlier sermons this year about how it was even used to pay the Roman soldiers. Our word salary comes from the Latin root for salt. In biblical times, salt was obtained from the Dead Sea. On the screens you can see a photo of some awesome salt stalactites beside the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is an inland sea that, through the process of evaporation, builds up the concentration of salt in it. And it has about 10 times the amount of salt as normal seawater. And that's why it's dead. It's very hard for living beings to live in that concentration of salt. The salt that you get from the Dead Sea is impure. And it contains other minerals, including magnesium and potassium salts, including sulfates and phosphates. Earlier this year, Ian gave a sermon talking about how the impurities in salt can be compared to sin in our lives that separates us from God. Now, I actually prepared a demo, but I decided it wasn't very clear to see. So I've actually replicated it up on the screen. So there is some impure salt from the sea. And I've got a couple of little hand-arounds for you to have a look at, if you like. There's two bottles. In one of them, there is some impure salt. The same salt has made that. In the other one, there's some lovely crystalline pure salt that you would love to crush up and sprinkle on your food. Okay, now, salt is dehydrating. As you'll know if you've eaten a lot of salty food, I found this out to my detriment when I was a uni student. And one night, a group of friends had finished a test and we decided to head down to the Pizza Hut in town for the all-you-can-eat Tuesday pizza evening. Adrian, not my husband at the time, I'm not even sure if we were dating, but he was present in our number. Anyway, being a student, I wanted to make the most of my payment. So I indulged. I didn't quite make the maximum that had ever been eaten by a female at that Pizza Hut shop, but I was really close. So I think I'd eaten about 11 or 12 pieces of pizza. I think the maximum that had been attained there was 13. But yeah, no, I was pretty finished after that. So I was full, but that wasn't the key problem. I got no sleep that night. because I was up every few minutes rehydrating with water. So salt dehydrates, including the moisture in the air. You may have actually seen in salt shakers little bits of rice sometimes. Some restaurants do that. In fact, I used to put rice into our own salt shaker at home, but we get through it far too fast nowadays. Now, that rice there is actually to dehydrate the salt again, because the salt wants to capture the water, and at which point it starts to deliquesce. Deliquescence is the process by which the salt absorbs water and then it turns into a liquid and washes away over time. And the rice stops that process by sacrificially absorbing the water. So if you can imagine our impure salt from seawater, and then over the process of time, the pile of salt sitting in the corner of the shop or at the roadside or next to your house, it will absorb water from the air and it will deliquesce. And the salt solution will run away and disappear. And all you'll be left with, Matt, you're onto it. Thank you. All you'll be left with is the impurity. That is what Jesus means, I think, by salt loses its flavour. It's no longer salt, it has lost its flavour. Okay, well, how is that relevant to us as Jesus' disciples? So salt was used as a preservative of meat, especially, to stop it degrading in the hot climate without refrigeration. And in the same way, we as Christians are here to preserve our society from godlessness and evil. In New Zealand, we're really fortunate to live in a society that is based on biblical principles. But in some areas, we are slipping away from God's truth. And we're losing sight as a society of God's kingdom. So we as Christians are here to preserve that God's goodness in society. Salt is also a flavour enhancer of many foods. The sodium ions of salt break down cells in meats and vegetables so that the flavour gets released more powerfully. Without salt, many foods just don't have the same zing. So too, Christians stand out as those who enhance the flavour of our society. We can have a beautiful effect on our world. We can improve the lives of people around us by living and speaking for Jesus. We are here to uplift and brighten and enhance and to glorify God. So Jesus wants us to be the flavouring of, to flavour society with godliness, truth, love and peace. Jesus is saying don't camouflage and don't blend in with society. Don't be flavoured by the world. Jesus prayed for his disciples, asking God to ensure that his disciples are in the world but not of the world. We should be flavouring the society around us, not the other way around. Okay, so how do we keep our flavour as Christ followers living in the world? And I'm asking you, all right, how can we as believers keep our flavour? What are things we can do to keep with God's truth?
We build our relationship with Jesus and God. We keep reading the Bible, praying.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah. Tom, do you have another one? Or Sarah summarised it all? Awesome.
Joe, keep believing in God, Joe.
Keep believing in God. Awesome. Amen.
I think when you're in situations you hold to your own values, you don't go with the crowd if you don't believe that they're acting in ways, you know, that aren't or contrary to your beliefs.
Thank you, Bridget. Awesome. Don't go with the crowd. So, read the Bible and pray.
Worship.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ian. Yes. Serving others.
It's me again. Probably a big one is, keep asking God to give us his Holy Spirit.
Ask to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Wonderful, thank you. And keep meeting with other Christians. Go to your house churches regularly. Come to church on Sundays regularly. And Sarah captured one of the most important, well, they're all important, but Sarah captured, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, how do we encounter the Holy Spirit? Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in a dramatic way, like it did in the Acts 2 passage on the disciples at Pentecost, with a loud noise, with roaring like a windstorm, and with fire. But the Holy Spirit may come quietly and peacefully as a gentle whisper. We remember Elijah on Mount Sinai. God's message wasn't in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. God's message was in the sound of a gentle whisper. The Holy Spirit may talk to us in the still small voice of calm. And we need to learn to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice and prompting. And we can invite the Spirit into our lives every day, now, and in particular situations. So importantly, all Christians have the Holy Spirit in them, living in them at all times. So Paul wrote in Romans 8, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." So the Holy Spirit is there when you are talking to your neighbour, nudging you to go deeper and speak to their soul. The Holy Spirit is there when you're having morning tea. The Holy Spirit is there when you are visiting the sick and ministering to them. The Holy Spirit is there in your business meetings, helping you to be considerate, gracious, and resilient. The Holy Spirit is there when you see someone in need and gives you the words and the actions to bless them. Yep, the Holy Spirit helps us to be the salt of the earth. The Holy Spirit living in us is a bit like the pilot light in a gas-powered heating system. It's always on. It's always there, giving off a little bit of light. Hopefully with the Holy Spirit a lot. But it's always there in the background. But when the heater turns on, it bursts into life. Woof! The filling of a Christian with the Holy Spirit is like that full flame. It gives us energy, light, and power to perform tasks and miracles and conversions for God's kingdom. So the Holy Spirit is always there with us. And at certain times, God pours out his Spirit on us. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is truly a vitalizing experience for our faith, and it gives us power to fulfill God's will. In Ephesians 5, Paul instructs the believers, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ." Matt, I wonder if you'd bring up that last picture, if you don't mind. Thank you. It's a beautiful picture of the Dead Sea. You can see the salt-encrusted shoreline and the absolutely beautiful waters. So if you imagine you're there at the Dead Sea, has anyone actually been there? Oh, wow. You're so blessed. Wonderful. I'll have to find out more later. Yeah, so imagine you're there at the Dead Sea, and you're paddling in the sea. You're dipping your toe in and then maybe you're paddling. Paddling in the sea is like the Spirit being with us all the time. We can choose to stay there. And the Lord will be with us and will help us in bringing his kingdom. But we might choose to dive headlong into those beautiful waters and get the full body experience. When we ask for Jesus, for this Holy Spirit to fill us fully, then that's a bit like diving headfirst into those waters. We get the full experience of God's love, sanctification, peace, and joy. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Firstly, significant outpourings of the Holy Spirit have been marked by prayer and intercession. At Pentecost, those believers in Jerusalem were longing for God's Spirit. They were receptive. Jesus had told them that he would send his Spirit after he ascended to heaven. And in the 10 days since he ascended to heaven, those believers had been together praying constantly, it says in Acts 1. But these kind of events are not limited to the Bible. They have happened throughout history since then and happen now. In 1738, John Wesley was filled with the Holy Spirit at a prayer meeting in Aldersgate. He'd just returned from an unsuccessful mission, or apparently unsuccessful mission, in Georgia in the US, a bit disconsolate. And rather unwillingly, he decided to go to this prayer meeting. At that place, he was filled by the Holy Spirit, and he described it this way. I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation. And an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. He went on to found the Methodist denomination. You may have read earlier this year in February about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Asbury University in Kentucky. It began with students staying after chapel service and continuing in prayer and worship. God honored their longing for him and showed up. The outpouring of the Spirit lasted for over 2 weeks, and more than 50,000 people came through and were blessed by that experience. What about you? Perhaps you have had wonderful experiences of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you feel God's Spirit here in church when we're worshiping and praying to God. Maybe there's another special place where you sometimes experience God's Spirit. Are you longing and receptive to God's presence and the Holy Spirit? The good news is, we can be filled again and again. I know for me, ideally I would be filled every day. And you know what? All we need to do is ask. When Jesus taught his disciples about prayer, we read in Luke 11 that Jesus said, "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So we're going to close with some prayer now, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. If you've experienced God's prompting today, and this is really speaking to you, if you would simply like to have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, so we get that warmth light, not just the little pilot light, we're going to have a couple of teams praying for people during communion. So please come to one or other side as you leave communion and we will pray for you. So let's open our hands to be receptive and pray. Lord my God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for the good news of your salvation and for your presence with me. I am so grateful that your Spirit lives in me. Help me to recognize your voice among all the competing noises in my life. Revive and sanctify me by the power of your Spirit. Set my heart on fire with your good news. Empower me with your Spirit to partner with you for your purpose and mission in the world. Give me boldness. Grant me opportunities to be your witness to others this week. Here I am, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit and send me. Fill me with your Spirit so that I can be like salt, flavoring my communities with your truth, your love, your joy, and your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh today.